Unlocking potential, one dream at a time, on the CJ Moneyway Show.
Sit back and relax. You're listening to the Moneyway Show.
What's up, my good people? Can you imagine a world where every person you meet has an extraordinary story to tell? Well, welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show, the podcast that brings those stories right to your ears. And I'm your host, CJ Moneyway. And I'm on a mission to discover the extraordinary in everyday life. You'll hear heartfelt, real-life stories from individuals who have formed their own path, shattered stereotypes, and transformed their personal challenges into becoming a driving force for positive change. On the CJ Moneyway Show, we dive into the cultural issues and celebrate the uniqueness of diverse communities. But that's not all. Join us as we journey into the realm of self-help, personal growth, engaging with experts and everyday heroes alike to inspire, enlighten, and entertain. Get ready to be moved, to be inspired, and to discover the untold stories that surround us every day. This is the CJ Moneyway Show, unveiling the extraordinary within the ordinary. So what you waiting for? Dive in, join us, and become part of our community of storytellers. And welcome to the CJ Moneyway Show.
Oh my goodness. You're going to go there, Corey. Now you're going to get me all emotional. Laughs is going to come off this last recording. Man, I can say a million things, but I'll tell you that she played a very instrumental role coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Even as a young woman, I remember looking at her and admiring her. By the way she would dress, she was so classy, so sophisticated.
Like, was it as far as being a store manager, you know, a lead? You went through all the steps to get you to forming your own company now. You have a daycare center, right? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
CJ Moneyway Show. And I'm with your host, CJ Moneyway. Let's get it.
What's up? This your boy, CJ Moneyway. Welcome to the Moneyway Show. Hey, I got a special guest, my adopted cousin, I would say, Rosetta Cox. You know, since we share the same auntie, biological auntie, my adopted auntie, Carol Sims. Shout out to Carol. How's she doing anyway?
She's doing amazing. We just spent the weekend together. Actually, the last couple of weekends, I've been so busy with the center and getting things together that I hadn't had any time for her. And so she's like my big baby. She called and I come running.
Oh, yeah.
She sent me a copy of her schedule. So I knew that meant make time. And so last couple of weekends, we've been hanging out.
Yeah, I see y'all went to breakfast and everything. It looked good, you know.
Yeah, and she's spoiled. You know she's spoiled.
Oh,
she's
very
spoiled.
And she loves you. And she loves Rosetta. So on that subject, you know, talking about Carol, your auntie, what pivotal role did she play in your life growing up?
Oh, my goodness. You're going to go there, Corey. Now you're going to get me all emotional. Laughs is going to come off this last recording. I can say a million things. But I'll tell you that she played a very instrumental role coming up.
Mm-hmm.
Even as a young woman, I remember looking at her and admiring her, the way she would dress. She was so classy, so sophisticated. And I just remember seeing her. She would always wear heels, like these high heels.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go to church and I would see her walk, you know, in this collection and offering time and just kind of walk around. And she would walk at home like, I would be like, I cannot wait to stop wearing heels. She was so nice. And so she was like a role model coming up, you know, besides my mom and my grandmother. She was hands-on with, you know, the raising of me and my sisters. And there were some dark days where, you know, Kara would always step in to help me make sure me and my grandmother and my siblings were good. She would make sure, you know, we had food. I remember one time in particular, I wanted to try out for the pom-pom squad. And I came home, I told my grandmother, I was like, I got to buy these shoes. I have to have this. I have to have that. And she said, "Where was that? I don't have the money." She said, "But we'll talk to Moochie." Carol nicknamed Moochie.
Yeah, yeah.
She said, "I'll talk to Moochie and see." And I'll never forget. She called. She said, "How much is it?" I said, "Hold, let me see. Let me find out." And I told her. And I was able to perform that year for our homecoming in my Nike shoes and my pom-pom squad outfit that Carol had gotten for me. And so when I say she played a pivotal role, that's just who she was. Whenever I had a need and my grandmother couldn't meet it because she was a senior citizen,
mm-hmm.
And the income that she lived off of, it wasn't a lot for both of us and my siblings and my mom. So she would step in.
Okay.
And she would just make sure we were good. And so now she tells me, "You don't owe me anything, Rosa." I'm like, "I know, but I love making sure she's good, because without her, you know, I wouldn't be half the woman that I am today."
Yeah, that's cool. You know, like I say, I know Carol from riding with her to work a lot, and she loved her some Rosie, you know, or whatnot.
Yeah.
And so, you know,
she is my heart. I love her. She plays that parent role because I don't have my parents, my grandmother. Carol fills that void for all of them, all three of them.
So with that, like, I know you're an entrepreneur, and I believe when I first started talking to Carol, when I first met Carol, you were working, you were doing something like at the, you were a manager, pawn shop. Yeah,
yeah,
things of that nature. Yeah,
a lot of people don't know that. I was a licensed pawnbroker in Chicago. Actually, I got into the pawn industry because of Carol. When I was like 19 years old, we walked into a pawn shop looking for a computer.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy like kind of basically hired me on the spot. So fast forward 20 plus years in the business, climbed the corporate ladder, employee, lead, assistant, second assistant. And my goal was to eventually be a store manager. And so I became a store manager. At that time, it was a male dominant industry. There was not a lot of women, and then especially Black women of color. So I found my way up to the top, and I made it there. And it was interesting. A lot of guys would come in and say, "Hey, let me speak to your manager." And I'm like, "I'm the manager." "No, I'm the dude. Let me speak to the dude." I'm like, "Well, what do you have?" "I got some speakers." "What size?" 12. "Okay, I need 15s. "I got a watt. How many amps is your watt? How many watts is your amp? Oh, 200. "No, I need 2,000 or more." "Oh, let me speak to the guy." And so I made a game out of it. I would call my assistant over. His name was Russell. "Russell, they want to talk to you." "Like, man, what can you do?" He was like, "Dude, you just got to talk to the manager."
Yeah.
So yeah. They would freak out, seeing me hook up car audio, sound, you know, test a circle saw, a drill, anything you name. I knew a lot about it because that's what pawnbrokers did. We had to know a little bit about everything. So it was awkward seeing a girl hook up audio with her nails on and lashes.
So what you did, huh?
I did it, and it really helped me. Working in that industry actually helped me in the business with what I'm doing now.
That's what I was going to ask you. Like, you know, like in life, you know, as we go through life in different forms of things, and there's certain places that you go, and you learn things, you know, along the way that's gonna help you to grow into some things that you may not have seen, you know what I'm saying, prior, but it was the learning experience that you got from here and there that takes you to different places. So with that being said, like, what was it as far as being a store manager, you know, a lead? You went through all the steps to get you to forming your own company now. You have a daycare center, right? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, I am. I co-own a home learning center called Mama's Bear Learning Center.
Mm-hmm.
And we are focused on kindergarten readiness. And we cater to, I have my credentials in early childhood.
Okay.
So all of our kids that we cater are from 0 to 5 years old.
So like early childhood, you know, you say you got an education in that. What was your main point or the thing that drew you to want to actually be involved with kids at an early age as far as their development?
Wow. If I could be honest with you, it stems from my childhood.
Mm-hmm.
My grandmother raised me, Carol's mother. We were always in church. She would sometimes host and have vacation Bible school in our yard in the project. And she would have me teach the class as a little girl. And so I was always the oldest sibling, oldest grandchild. And so I was always pushed, you know, you're the leader, you're the oldest. And so it was, it became a natural thing for me, not knowing that I was being molded mm-hmm. into operating in my gift. Mm-hmm. So it stemmed from my childhood, and I always just wanted to learn and teach. And I remember, you know, growing up and life happening, started making good money at the pawn shop. My goal was always to be an educator. Mm-hmm. That was always my passion. And so life happened, kids, bills, you know, that required a nice financial, it required some financial stability. So it was like, you know what, I'm going to work this job. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, wow, it would be amazing for me to one day be able to operate in my gift. And with all the ups and downs in my life, I just never thought that I would be here. And I just remember one day, like, I always tell my children they can do whatever they want to do, never give up. And I'm like, you can't do it. If you can't do that. You mm-hmm. know, you have to, you know, stick to your guns. And so here I am now, fast forward, operating finally in my gift of teaching. And I love kids. People don't know this, but disclaimer, I always wanted a bunch of kids. Mm. It never happened, but I always kept a house full of kids in my home. And so now that my children, I'm an empty nester. Now I have everyone else's children.
Well, you know, that's a beautiful thing, because a lot of people, you know, don't want to take time. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know me, I just say me myself. I wouldn't have the patience, you know, to do something of that magnitude. Yeah. I wouldn't have the patience, you know.
Yeah.
Hey, they can come over and come over to the house. Hey, but long as you leaving with your mama and your daddy when they leave, hey, we all good.
Yes, I agree. It is definitely a gift. A lot of times people compliment me and they tell me things, and it's like, I can't really understand what they're saying, because when I'm doing what I love and I'm operating, I'm not thinking about anything. All I know is that this child needs to retain what I'm teaching them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very rewarding. And so yeah, I'm learning how to take compliments. Because like I say, it's not work for me. It's not a race. It's just, I have a purpose. I have a gift. And teaching is one of them.
Like you say, I remember my father, he told me a long time ago, he say, man, get you a career, you know, go to school and get an education so you can have a career and not just a job. Because, you know, as you're saying right now, and that's what made me think about it, because when you got a job, you got to go there,
you know,
but when you have a career, you're getting up excited to go to work because this is something that you're passionate about doing.
Yes.
And so, you know, like listening to you, it's a passion, you know what I'm saying? And so it's not, you know, like you say, I don't see it like that, because this is something that I desire to do, you know, or whatnot. Yes. And so like, you know, I was talking to somebody last week, and one thing that I'm hearing you say, and as we talked about last week, is that a lot of times you say you're working, you're in your purpose. You know what I'm saying? You're fulfilling your purpose, your God-given talents that God gave you, you know what I'm saying, now being displayed. And so, like, one thing that we were talking about last week was that a lot of times your purpose stay the same. You know what I'm saying? So, like, a preacher or pastor and people of that nature, your purpose stays the same, but assignments change. You know what I'm saying?
Wow, you would bring that up.
Assignments change.
Yeah. But it's ironic that you say that, and I'm laughing, because a lot of people don't know this, and they'll know now after the podcast, but I actually have my credentials in ministry.
Mm.
I obtained it 2 years ago, and the reason I kind of not say too much about it is because I know I'm still operating in that. Teaching is just my gift, whether I'm teaching children or whatever my other assignment is. I know that's a connection. So I just actually training myself to be obedient. So whatever mm-hmm. God tells me to do, so then he asks, okay, God, what do you mean? Are you sure? Like, why me? Mm-hmm. You know, he's like, just be obedient. And every time I've been obedient with what he's told me to do, because in the past, there's been times I wasn't.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to start all over again. Like, okay, God, I get it.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm not going to do it Rosetta's way no more. I'm going to do a trope. Yeah. And so obtaining my credentials in ministry, you know, we look at what is ministry. It's, you know, doing God's business and doing what he's gifted you to do. Mm-hmm. And so I would say, you know, one of my ministries are my kids. I do minister to women that are divorced, mm-hmm. Young teenage girls who are going through abstinence and feeling rejection, because I went through that. And so my ministry is different assignments that God puts me on. So some things I share with people, some I don't. It's just mm-hmm. between me and God. But when it's time for me to really expand and keep being obedient, then that's what I will do.
Yeah, you know, I understand that too, you know, said to the, you know, because a lot of times, you know, a lot of times when you put things out there, people try to scrutinize, you know,
yeah,
what it is. Yeah, you know, and, you know, like I was talking to somebody the other day, and actually, when you start putting certain things out, and even those close to you, you know, yes. whether it's a wife, a husband, or
yes.
mother, father, brother, sister,
yes.
and you start putting things out there, and if they don't see it, and I get to that in a minute, because I think we spoke about this once before, and if they don't see it, it can be discouraging. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, you are hitting some stuff, Corey.
their comments, you know what I'm saying, or remarks can be discouraging. Wow. And so when it becomes discouraging, the path that God has you on.
Wow.
Can take you off that path, because you're saying to yourself, you know, and maybe this is just me, that if I can't convince those who love me and those that I love, how can I convince somebody else?
Mm-hmm. Come on now. That's true. I mean, I've actually went through that.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being excited, and at that time I was in a relationship, and I remember just being so excited, and I came home and I told him, and first, you know, there was mocking, you know, and labeling, oh, Reverend Rosetta. And it was very discouraging, because he made fun.
Mm-hmm.
And but that was okay. And that's what I've been wanting to let my young single women know. You know when God has someone for you,
mm-hmm.
because they're going to be aligned with your purpose,
mm-hmm.
right? They're going to be aligned with what it is that you're going to do. And then you guys are coming together for a purpose also,
mm-hmm.
whatever that looks like. So when that happened, when he did that, it was a gut-wrench feeling, because I'm like, he's not my husband.
Mm.
He's good to me. I don't have to worry about nothing. He's an amazing man. You know how kids be wanting a toy? You like, no, give it here.
Mm-hmm.
I got you a new toy for Christmas. You like, no. That's how it was. It's like, God, no, this is a good one. He was like, mm-mm, nope. And so I knew then there was no way I can actually operate in my full gift, my full potential, when that happened. Mm-hmm. And I had to be okay with that.
Yeah. You know, I was just telling a young lady this the other day. We was talking, and I listened to T.D. Jakes one time, right? And mm-hmm. he was talking about how, say, like, I got a woman, and I was this way with her. But then when I got with another woman, those gifts that you're talking about, and now it's a change. And so now that woman sitting back, or that man sitting back, like, well, where was that woman at? Or where was that man at when I had him? You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
And he say that you didn't have what it took to dig out of them mm-hmm. what was in them. And so that person that came along had what it took to, you know, because he was talking about the lady at the well, had yeah. what it took to get that up out of them. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so
yes.
now they're operating in the purpose that they should have been operating in. Because
wow.
you can get beat up so much mm-hmm. in-house.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? That
yes.
it becomes discouraging, you know. And it's like a battle. Like the Bible tells us, too. It tells us that we don't fight against flesh and blood.
Flesh and blood. But the principle.
But it's yeah. but we go through a like you said with the toy, we go through a tug of war with each
yeah.
other. You
yeah.
see what I'm saying? And it shouldn't
Absolutely.
Be that way. It shouldn't be that way. Not in yeah. not in a marriage and a relationship, but you know, but we do. And
yeah.
and you know, and so I bring that to bring to this point, because I think, you know, we haven't really talked, but I think we mentioned it on Facebook or something when I first asked you to come on the show.
And you say, oh, that's my favorite story in the Bible. I say, yeah, that's my favorite one too. And so that's Gilgo there, because everything that we've been talking about has actually aligned to this.
It was Joseph, right?
Joseph.
I love Joseph. Hey. He is my dude. Like, man, listen, you know, it's so crazy. I think about, you know, when I say I want to be a future author, I think about different titles and things that come to mind. And I don't know if God put this in my spirit. I keep thinking about the female Joseph. When I look over my life, I feel like the female Joseph is like, okay, is that a book title, Lord? Because his story, man, it motivates me. Mm-hmm. It reminds me that at the end of the day, a lot of people tell me like, okay, you're favored, and oh, you're just so blessed. Things always work out for me. And I'm thinking, it's God's hands on my life. Like, mm-hmm. It's not me. It's connected to my purpose. And everything that I've been through is like, it can be a fire. This whole house can catch a fire. But for some reason, it's like I would be lifted out of that fire. And I say that because based on everything that has happened in my life, no matter how crazy it was, for some reason, I was able to still operate in my gift and the love that we have, that God gives us, the joy that he gives us. Mm-hmm. And people look at me like, how are you doing this? And I'm like, it's not me. Mm-hmm. It's God. And so I'm very grateful to be alive today and to just look back over my life and see all of those things that I went, all it was doing was preparing me for this day. Mm-hmm. You know, the loss of my parents and my siblings and going through divorce. I was married for 15 years, went through a divorce after I lost my dad. I had lost my sister 8 months prior the same way. They both passed of brain anoxia injury, which comes from having an asthma attack. Mm. They had asthma attacks. And then prior to that, losing my mom suddenly to heart disease. She had what you call hypertrophic cardiomyopathy. Very mm-hmm. beautiful woman, appeared to be healthy, but she had a bad heart. It was hereditary. And prior to that, losing my brother to a murder. And mm-hmm. so, and being robbed at gunpoint. People don't even know that. Like, I have been robbed at gunpoint.